Tonight's message is entitled, My Garden, His Garden. My Garden, His Garden. And as you probably noticed, our downstairs mission feeding area, which I got my message from, is undergoing a massive facelift. Plants everywhere. A garden which brings to mind the Song of Solomon 4:16, Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into, now it changes, into his garden, and eat his pleasant fruits. Starts out my garden, ends up his garden. Well, what a great difference there is between what a believer was by nature and what the grace of God has made him. You remember before that you were born again and you were strung out with some habits and so on, like that. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and say, I haven't grown not one iota. Oh, yes, you have. Maybe you have relapses and maybe you fall back some, but there's a great deal of difference between Corey or Marty and what they were 4 or 5 years ago. Well, they're 4 or 5 years older, I know that, but I'm saying they are not the same people, and they're not the same people that came in here last week. Kind of spooky, you look at a brand new audience all the time. And especially if the people are praying and fasting and believing for a move of God in their lives, you know what? You're not looking at the same people. They have been transformed, translated, taken out of a present evil world, and they're not the same people week by week. And message upon message, they change. Not the same people. Ruth isn't the same girl that came in here. That's, what, a few years back now, maybe 3, almost 4 years back. Not the same person at all. And you know, what's so beautiful about it is that we allow the grace of God to move us and we allow the awake, O north wind, and come upon thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved then come unto his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Woo! But in the natural, do you remember how we were? Barren, sort of a wilderness with no plants or fruit, only the cactus and the sagebrush, a sort of a lonesome, bewildered existence. Brings to my mind a song, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered Am I. Did you ever hear that song? No, of course not. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Huh? And that's the way we were when we didn't have Jesus. We were bewitched by the devil. We were bothered by the devil. Are you here? Am I? And so we have changed and we've left that natural and we've moved into the supernatural. We've left that wilderness experience. And what, do people ever get back into a wilderness experience? Jesus did. By an act of his own will, he walked off, he went back into a wilderness experience, and that's where he learned. That's where the Israelites learned, in a wilderness experience. And if you don't learn too fast, then you got to stay out there 40 years. But I'll say one thing in my experiences that I've learned more in the wilderness most times than I've learned on the mountaintop. Those are the places that God really deals with us. But anyway, hey, we have been transformed and we have gone over to the other side, into the land of Canaan, it says. But it was like we were given over to a salt land, uninhabited. No good thing was in us or could spring from us. For then that I was saved, there was no good things coming from me. And if it was any kind of a good, I always wanted the credit for it. But now we are transformed, the scripture says, and re-transformed into gardens. Our wildernesses are made into Edens, hallelujah. Are you hearing this message tonight? Changed into the garden of the Lord. Woo! Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. I will turn unto you said the Lord to the mountains of Israel when they were black and when they were bare. And he says like this, I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled, and ye shall be sown. And this is exactly what he said to the bareness of our very own natures. And after that I was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, I cried out to the Lord. I said, I'm not going to make it. And then he enclosed me by his grace. Then we were tilled, and then we were sown, and we all had that same experience that all the operations of divine husbandry could bring. Jesus plowing and Jesus working in us, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit moving within our being and changing us, working inside there, doing a work. And our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, my Father is the husbandman, and he was made us to be fruitful unto his praise and full of sweetness, where once there was no fruit and nothing could give him no delight. And so then the scripture says, and it seems to say, that we are a garden. And in our garden is flowers and fruits, and in every Christian heart you will find the same evidences of culture and care. Now all the gardens, of course, aren't the same. Your garden isn't the same as my garden. The arrangements aren't the same. The plowing isn't the same. Maybe there's more hills and maybe there's more valleys within your garden. But there are the same culture experiences in each believer, hallelujah, and the same husbandmen working in there all the time. Well, it says in the scripture about the good soil that's mentioned by our Lord in the parable, you remember, of the sower. That they all didn't, some had, it says, 100-fold. Some, I believe, says a 90-fold. Some has a 60-fold, and some has a 30-fold. So they're not all the same, are they? And I sometimes know that, well, I believe this, that in some people there are evidences of less than 30. Maybe 10. Maybe 5. But still there are some evidences of fruit there. And so you really can't judge, because God is the one that's doing the work, isn't it? Have you ever seen someone that's saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and they just blossom? And you say, there goes a 100-fold Christian. He's gone all the way for Jesus, and he goes for about 2 weeks, and you find out he's a 60. Then you find out that he's a 30. Then you find out that he's a 5. Well, you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about myself. Say amen, somebody, and you all have that experience. You go way up, and you're way up there, and you have a high yield, and you have all hybrid corn. There's no worms in it. There's no corn boll weevils or whatever in it, and everything is going along just fine, and then you drop down to 5%. How many know that can happen to you sitting right here tonight? Hallelujah. But however, there was always a very good beginning made wherever the grace of God has undertaken the culture of our nature. And so tonight, we will look at the Christians in the Lord's garden. And first tonight, let's observe there are sweet spices in every believer. I think it's good to encourage one another, don't you? When you first get saved and you first get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's that good work in each Christian, and there's that spices, and there's that aroma of the Holy Ghost. I know I surprised myself. I went to work and people said, you know something? You're not the same person that left here. You went to California, you came back, and you're different. And I felt real good about myself too, because I know I smelled a little bit different. Say amen, somebody. I was a stinker before I came to the Lord. Are you hearing it? Woo! A flower garden, it says, and sweet spices are in the believer's heart. Number one, what is a spice? Faith. That's a spice, isn't it? Is there anything sweeter? Is there anything sweeter than faith? Is there anything sweeter now in your own natural when your little one starts to walk? Or Corey, when your little one started to walk? Or Ruth, when your little one started to walk? And they did it in faith. Is there anything sweeter? Is there anything sweeter to the Lord when you start to walk in faith? When you leave the natural, whining, lonesome wilderness experience and you take on a new life by faith and you start taking those baby steps, just like it is with your own little ones, God looks down and He says, oh, isn't that great? And it's really no big thing. All you're doing is making it from one piece of furniture over to the next. Barely making it over. Oop. And that's the same way we walk in faith. When God is watching us, you could be 50 years old and you start walking in faith. Hallelujah. It's exciting to the Lord. Every time you take that one, is there anything sweeter? When you see someone that's been caught up with the world and all of a sudden they start to move in faith and they're not worried about their finances as much, and they're not worried about their job as much, and they're not worried about their health as much, and they're not worried about dying anymore. I remember that when I left me, and I had that fear of dying, and it left. And you know what took over? Faith. And the words came to me, the life that you now live, you live by faith. Hallelujah. And so I was living that life in faith, and I had that freedom, and I started to get joy on the inside. You know who it was? It was the Lord Jesus Christ, that life within me, because it is the joy of the Lord that is your strength, and I got powerful in that, and I started to laugh, and I started to rejoice, and I said, you know, I've lost that fear. And I started to really start to lose those fears, and I stopped shaking, which I used to really have to think about it. And I didn't have the booze quivers anymore. And my eyes started to clear up. And I started to feel good about myself. And I knew I was different. And I knew that the north wind and the old south wind was blowing through. And I was doing a work within me. And I felt good about myself. How many have felt good about themselves this week? I feel right now as good about myself as I've ever felt. You want to know why? Because God is stirring in me. God is doing a brand new work inside. Oh, you mean you're making a perfect thing? No, I haven't done it perfectly. But I have been seeking the Lord. I have been praying and fasting. And God has been doing a work within me. Hallelujah. I'm not becoming my own man. I'm becoming God's man. Well, you weren't before? No, I'm saying that we are elevated, we are brought forth as the Holy Spirit blows upon us. And He comes at different times in our lives, by the way. When everything isn't just well, fire falls and it burns off. But then as it singes that off, there's a brand new garden. Something brand new happening within my spirit. Is there something brand new happening within your spirits? Oh, yes, there is. Honey, I know something's happened in your spirit. You are not the same person that came in here, well, let's say 6 months ago. Would that be about it? Not the same person. Now, maybe that you're moving along. Oh, Marty, maybe you'll have to get jealous once in a while because she's moving along. And you know what I mean? I mean, I'm just saying, we all do. You say, oh man, now I got to catch up with my wife. I was just, man, she just got, you know, the Holy Spirit just blew on her garden and just started all this sweet smell and spices and everything. I got to clean my act up. No, I'm just using you, Marty. Yeah, you sure did, he says. But faith, is there anything sweeter? The Bible says that it is a faith that trusts and a faith that clings, which believers and believes and hopes and declares that though God shall slay me, yet shall I trust Him. Ooh, though the Lord slay me. Now that's faith. Though you slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Now, one time a woman did something. I didn't think it was exactly right, but it did prove a point. She called a little blonde-haired boy over, and he was just as cute as could be. And she gave him a paddling. And the little kid started bawling, and he started walking away, and she says, come to Mommy. And the little kid ran right to his mother. Well, what she was trying to prove was that the little kid loved her. Now, that was the wrong way of doing it, wasn't it? It was a wrong way of teaching, wasn't it? But it always stuck with me. That little fella had faith in his mother. He had faith in them great big old fat arms of hers. Say amen. I'm not talking about nobody in here. Stop hiding your arms. Praise God. You know, you're ministering and all of a sudden you mention something, everybody starts rubbing on their arms. But see, this is what I'm talking about. Yes, in the Lord's esteem, faith is full of fragrance. When we move in faith, it is the fragrance unto the Lord. Say amen. When Jesus is walking through the garden of your soul, and you start to move in faith, faith in the Lord, in the Lord's faith, faith as a gift to you, and you start to move in that, ooh, that smells good. And it's a sweet savor unto the Lord. And it's a sweet fragrance unto the Lord. Well, the Bible says that he never delighted in the burning and the burning of bulls and the fat of beasts. But he always, it's in the Bible all the way through, he delighted in faith. And he still and always will delight in faith. How many want to delight the Lord? Then you got to start to move in faith. And that is one of the flowers of the garden. That is one of the spices, and that is the sweet aroma that's in the garden. That's one of them. And it's called faith. Without faith, it says in the Bible, it is impossible to please God. Unless you do something in faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, that's like you give your little one, and he just barely can walk around, but you say, well, I'm going to give him the job of putting his blocks away. And you say, I want you to stack all them blocks over there. I want you to put them all back in your toy box. And he starts to do the job, and his concentration isn't too great, so he puts one in there. And he pulls some other toys out. And his concentration isn't too good, so you have to keep after. But do you know something that you have to recognize? That little one, with that one block that he moved from point A to point B, was a move of faith. And if you'll encourage that faith right then and there, you're going to get block two. And then if you encourage that faith, he's going to take block three and block four and block 50, and he's going to get them all back in that box. Now, that isn't to say that he's going to leave them in there. But he's going to take him over there, and that's the same way that God encourages us as we're in the garden there. And that's one of the sweet things that the Lord loves, and the aroma to his nostrils is that sweet move and that flower of faith. And then I believe we got to move into love, and agape love. Love, is there anything sweeter than love? Now, I know probably some of you listening on the radio or this tape say, hey, I'm living with a lost cause. But I believe it is the ultimate spice. The love which loves God because he first loved us. The love that flows out of brotherhood. Did you ever walk into a place and there's different brothers and sisters in the Lord in there? And you're so glad that they're there and you have that love of the brotherhood in there? This morning we were praying before that we started. And we had a real move of the Holy Ghost here. And several people felt the move of the Holy Ghost, and we got ourselves all prayed up, and we started to pray in faith. And as we started to pray in faith, guess who dropped in? Love. Love dropped in, and there was a sweet aroma in the room. Guess what was there? Faith was there in the garden, and love was there in the garden. And where there's faith, and where there's love, there's God. And where there is God, there is a move. And where there is a move, there is a wind. And where there is a wind, there is a stirring. And where there is a stirring, there is an aroma. And where there's aroma, there's a power. Hallelujah. And we got under the power, and we got under the anointing of the Lord. Why? Because God had blown upon our gardens. Woo! See, there's a whole lot in it, isn't there? The love that flows from a brotherhood, the love that's an unbounded circle, glory to God, that can go nowhere but round and round and round and round. That's why you hold hands when you pray. It's like a ring of fire. And you stand in this circle, and you hold hands, and you get into prayer, and you have a circle witness. Hallelujah. And something happens when love drops in, that love that seeks good, that love that hurts. Did you ever have a love that hurts? Have you? Have you ever had a love that hurts? You know, there is a song like that. I don't suppose you've ever heard it. Oh, I love you so much, it hurts me. Jesus could sing that song, couldn't he? I love you so much, it hurt me. Darling, I'm so in love with you. God loved us so much, it hurt him. How great to see love growing where there was once hate. Oh, I love that. Man, you'll see someone transformed by the power of God, and love drops in and chases away hate, and love comes in and it chases away the rebellion and the meanness and the orneriness and the cantankerousness, and it chases away all those other things and those weeds right there. And then we have faith springing up in the soul, which was formerly choked with thorns and briars and unbelief, and glory to God, there starts to be something new inside of the person, and God then blows, hallelujah, by us, how Holy Spirit comes howling down into that garden, glory to God, and there's a sweet aroma coming off of that person. What is it? It is a garden of the Lord, hallelujah. A garden which brings to mind the song of Solomon 4 and 16, and let's hear it. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, and let my beloved come unto his garden, and eat his pleasant fruits. Glory to God, hallelujah. And then there's also hope. That is another rich spice, and that is another rich aroma to the Lord, hallelujah, which is such a great grace, a far-seeing, glory to God, grace in people. When you start to have a hope where there was no hope in a person, and before you had no hope for him, and before you had no hope in yourself, and all of a sudden, glory to God, God starts working in the garden of your soul, and you begin to see things, and you begin to manifest God in yourself, and you begin to get free, hallelujah, and your garden starts to smell a little better, and you start to feel a little bit better about yourself, hallelujah, and you don't listen to what everybody else is saying about your garden, but God is speaking to you, and God is blowing upon your on your beautiful garden, and he's saying, you smell good to me. You smell sweet to me, hallelujah. Whoa, a hope. And we have a hope then on our children. So many people call and they say, there's no hope for that kid. There is no hope for that kid. Now, we had some people come down now from the correctional people, and the fellow introduced us to another woman that's going to be working in the correctional system. And I said to her, honey, I said, listen, I said, I'm a gospel preacher ministering the word of God here, and I'm going to give you gospel. Are you born again? Well, she says, I've been baptized and confirmed. I said, well, I want to pray with you before you leave. She almost got out the back door. She was standing up on the steps with this other fellow and Janine, and I stopped him and I said, listen, let's hold hands here. Now, I'm a gospel preacher of the word of God, and I'm going to lead you to Jesus. And you know what happened to her? God blew upon her garden, hallelujah, and woke her up, and she was beaming with life, and she left here saved and filled with the Holy Ghost to do a work for Jesus in the correctional system right out on Anoka County and Hennepin County, hallelujah. And that's what it's all about, taking my garden, hallelujah, and starting another garden, hallelujah, and planting the Word of God in there from my garden, from the seeds that are falling off, hallelujah, and the wind of the Holy Spirit blows through you into somebody else and gives them the breath of life by Jesus Christ. Christ, and they are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and they go out, hallelujah, a garden. But then we start to have a far-seeing hope in our work. Before, you had no hope in your job. Before, you were always I've got to quit. There's nobody believing. There's nobody to witness to. There's nobody to talk. How many have felt that way? Now, how many know that you persevere and you keep right on? And you let the Lord deal with your own garden. Pretty soon, things start to happen in that place like you never believed they were going to happen before. You know why that is? God is blowing upon your garden. Say amen, somebody. You see, I think we ought to spend more time with our own gardens. Now, if you had a garden, would you go over and do the neighbor's garden? Oh, look at the weeds in that guy's garden over there. Filthy weeds. I'm going to go over at midnight and take care of them. Crickets are out there. Creak, 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 and the dogs start barking. Rawr, 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 rawr. But you just got to get those weeds out. You just got to take care of somebody else's garden all the time. And you're out there, arf, arf, shut up, pulling these weeds out of somebody else's garden. And you know who's planting weeds in your garden while you're over there? The devil's over there. Planting them as fast as he can. Oh, hallelujah. Say amen, somebody. Tend to your own garden. God has put a hedge around you. Say amen. God has taken all the thorns and all the briars and all that and put a hedge about you. You want to get all marked up? Try to get out of that hedge. Say amen. Go on over there with raggedy old pants on trying to get in somebody else's patch. Say amen, somebody. That'll do you no good. You got to stay in your own garden. Say, oh, north wind, south wind, blow upon me. I need a healing in my own life. I don't smell too good lately. I've been tending everybody else's garden. I'm sick of playing God, and I just want to take a God help. Are you hearing this, preacher? You can even see heaven. Yeah, you can. You have a blessed hope. And so now you see this blessed hope. Not that you're waiting around for heaven. No, you know, the kingdom of God is right here. And the kingdom of God is right there. And the kingdom of God is over here and up there and down there. And I'm standing in the kingdom of God right now. And the kingdom of God is standing in me. No, it's something that ye seek ye first. But as you seek it first, it's all around you. So many people are looking for the kingdom of God, and it's right there. And I think there is such a fragrance about God, a God-given hope, that the poor, sin-stricken world is cured by it. When you come on and you got a blessed hope. When you come on and you got a hope in Jesus. And I've ministered to a lot of alcoholics. Done several of the AA groups. And every one of them that I go to, it seems like the devil speaks to me. He says, now tone it down and just talk in higher power. And I get up there and I say, well, okay, I'm just going to listen to you until the Lord puts his words in my mouth. And I get up and I start to minister and I start to give my testimony and I start to talk about what God has done in my garden, so to speak. And as I witness to these guys, they get a blessed hope. Blessed Redeemer, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Maybe somebody snickers over there. Of glory divine. Another alcoholic over there. Oh, no, one of these is like my old lady. Oh, no. Okay. You just walk right over to him, see? You just get bold in the Holy Ghost. Blessed Redeemer, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Ah, this is my story. This is my song. Loving my Jesus, my higher power all the day long. Oh, and pretty soon you got the audience. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit starts to drop. And the Holy Spirit starts to fall upon your garden. And the wind of the north and the wind of the south starts a little whirlwind going on the inside. Hallelujah. And fire falls and people get saved. Is that simple? You want me to complicate it and to try to get into how it happened? Did you ever try to figure out why you had such a good day? Let's see. Why did I have such a fun day? I am going to try to write that down. I'll write a book about how to have a fun day. You know what? You'll never have a fun day writing about it. Because it's in faith, and it's always different. Have you ever tried that? Gee, I had fun today. I'm going to have fun tomorrow because I'm going to do exactly the same thing. You can't do exactly the same thing. Can't. See, when you get into it, you ruin it. Did you ever try to get in and make your own day? Hey, God is the one that makes the day. Did you cause the sun to come up? Think about it. Did you have anything to do with it? No. Are you going to have anything to do with the sun going down? No. Not one single solitary thing. Nothing. But you know what? By faith, hallelujah, it comes up, and by faith it goes down, and that's what you have to do. Are you hearing this tonight? Hallelujah. I tell you right now, God right now is dealing with people. And I found out while I was ministering to these alcoholics that wherever this living and this lively hope comes, men lift up their hang-down head Tom Dooleys, and they start to rejoice, hallelujah, in God their Savior. And pretty soon you'll see somebody sitting over there smiling. And pretty soon you'll see somebody edge it. And I mean edge it, they get on the edge of their seat. And they kind of walk. You ever see them when they edge it, they kind of walk themselves? Huh? And they walk up to the edge of their seat and they sit here like this. And you know what? Because we have a lively... Because not only do we have a lively, but we have a living lively, lively living hope. That's full of lively living ingredients. Namely, the Lord Jesus Christ, a blessed hope, and by faith we give it to these people, and by faith they're edging it to their seats, and by faith they receive it, and something happens. Love comes in. And love does a job and love does a number. And after the meeting, every time without fail, the guy will come with his wife in tow. And they'll walk over to the table that you're sitting over there and you'll walk over to your table. And pretty soon you've got one couple around you. You've got two couples around you. You've got three couples around you. And I'm going to tell you something. You've got an audience. And you want to know why? Because you have a lively, living hope. And where there was no hope, you brought in a lively, lively, living hope. And you say, you know something? This fellow's got something that I want. And so you lead him to the Lord. Because you have a lively, living hope. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that exciting? Well, isn't it? Hey, what a dead amen I heard on the radio there. Man. You know, when people are bored, they really don't say amen. Did you hear that guy on the radio? Man. They don't say amen, they say man. They sort of pass over it lightly. Man. Well, I ain't going to go over all the God-given graces that we have. I'll mention a few, though. We got meekness. Now, by meekness, I don't mean you sneak along the wall. You know what I mean? You know, you're meek. You know, you're... Someday I'm going to give you the definition in Greek. Remember that one I had, Jen, about meekness? Let's stop this now. You know what I mean? I'm talking about a meekness in Jesus. A powerful meekness. Ooh, that's one of the sweet aromas, the meekness of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lamb slain before the foundation of the world was even founded. Hallelujah. That's a meekness. God, creator of everything, dying on a cross, didn't have to, could have called down 10,000 angels. Hallelujah. But in meekness and in lowliness and with a contrite heart, hallelujah, he came on. Now I'm talking about a very powerful meekness, hallelujah. Oh, or brotherly kindness. That has a smell to it, doesn't it? When you're kind to a brother. Or courage. When everybody's talking about somebody and you have courage. When you have courage, hallelujah, and you say, hey, wait a minute, hold down there a minute, please. This isn't kindness. This isn't meekness of spirit. This isn't Jesus. This is hard, and this is cruel, and this is contemptible. And I think we should have a little what? Brotherly kindness here. I think we should lift up this brother. I think we should have some uprightness. Oh, and that's a smell in the garden, isn't it? Did you ever see a flower that's upright? Huh? We got some plants downstairs. Now, they're okay, but if they don't get water, they go. And as soon as you give them water, they go. Whoop. They're pretty smart, aren't they? When they want water, they hang down. And when we need the water of word, we hang down. When our soul's garden needs watering, we got kind of hang down. I have, for the last month, had my soul watered. Soul watered. Thank you, Lord. Have you had your soul watered lately? Feels real good. Oh, boy. Oh, fresh drink of water. Oh. Now, don't get thirsty on me and go downstairs, lock all the doors and windows. And then there's a patience that you develop. And doesn't that have a savor to it? An aroma to it. And you have a patience that says, I don't want to argue. I don't want to fight. Jesus is walking through my garden right now. And I thought to myself, oh, how the Creator loves to see a bumper crop of what He has sown. A bumper crop of love and of hope. Hallelujah. A bumper crop of faith. When those seeds of faith, those great seeds of faith and hope and love are planted and they grow and they flourish. And don't you like to see that in your little ones? When you first bring them home, they can't even see you. They just got that little film over their eyes, you know, and it just sort of looks like they're looking right at you. And they smile once in a while. They call it gas pains. I don't know, maybe they are smiling. I don't know. But they, you know. And after a while, they start to focus in on you. And they start to recognize your voice. Did you know that? And did you know something? That they know you before that they were born, if you keep talking to them. And you know that Jesus knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded? What do you think's happening down there in the garden? Hey, I knew you in your mother's womb. That's why abortion is so terrible. And maybe you're listening on the radio and you've aborted a baby. Well, hey, there's forgiveness. I'm not talking about that. I'm not condemning anybody. Don't do it again. But I knew you in your mother's womb. And that little kid, knows you. You'd be talking to that baby down inside there. It'll know your voice. Oh, it'll be a little different because it's kind of muffled under all that water and everything. But it'll know you. It'll kind of turn, kind of look like, where have I heard that voice before? I'm sure glad this person is out here with me. Say amen, somebody. And aren't you glad that God is out here with you? I'm glad God is in my garden. I'm glad that Jesus right now is walking in my garden. Hallelujah. How great that once the very opposite flourished in my heart. All the hate and all the rebellion and all those things, they flourished. But next, these sweet spices are delightful to God. And I thought to myself, how wonderful that we should have anything within us that God delights in. Oh, my beloved, I am delighted with you. That God gives us faith, and He may well be pleased with it because He's the one that gave it to us. And people say, do you think it'll work? Do you think, would you say that about a natural baby? The baby's all healthy and fat and everything. Do you think the kid'll live? What a rude thing. And it's the same way when a person is born again. You think you'll make it? God is the one that put faith in that newborn baby. God is the one that put hope in that brand new baby. Now, maybe it's less than 30%. Maybe it's less. But God is the one that causes the increase, not you going over there and pulling out the weeds. Say amen. No, don't judge somebody else's garden. Take care of your own. Because like I said, Satan's over there. And after all, isn't God the one that causes the increase? And you know, be very careful when you're pulling up weeds. Because sometimes it's hard to tell a weed from the seed. Looks is deceiving, aren't they? Sometimes you can look at somebody and they'll come in the mission and they'll just come stop them. You look wild, you know. And you'll say, hi. And they'll say, oh, hi. And then you'll see somebody, they'll come in and they'll say, you'll say, hi. Say, mind your own business. Say amen, somebody. Are you hearing this? Things aren't always like they seem. Things are not always like they seem. No, 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 no. And now I see the radio audience. They're looking back and forth at each other. Wife looks at the husband. Husband looks at the wife. Say it again. But think of it, God walking through the gardens of our hearts, checking out my garden, checking out His garden. The God that created love in our unlovely hearts is surely well pleased at what He's produced, even though it doesn't look like a whole lot. And you know, even with our own little kids, you say, look at that kid. Did you ever see a kid like that? Look at the spit bubbles that kid is blowing. Now that's smart. Huh? Look, he's blowing. Hey, look, there's a big one. Oh, boy. Huh? I mean, anything they do, you glom onto. You know what I mean? It's just like it's fantastic. Look how he looks at colors. Look how he looks at colors. And you screw his head around to look at the colors. Say! Huh? But everything they do is wonderful. I remember when Debbie, she started looking at something, and I painted some nail polish on the side of her bassinet. And I had some red old nail polish on there. I thought, well, I'll train the kid to look over. I almost made her cross-eyed, you know what I mean? I should leave well enough alone. But I mean, you know. But I mean, anyway, she would look over there and say, boy, that kid is smart. Look at her. Look over there at that red nail polish. Now, I know other kids, they just lay there like, you know, but I, nothing against them or anything, but this is really a smart kid. You know what I mean? It didn't even hardly have any neck muscles yet, so every once in a while her head would go, boom. But see, I was pleased. I mean, anything those kids would do would please me. And it was the same way, and it is the same way with God. Any little thing you can do for Him, or because He told you to, any little act of obedience, even, let's say, and I'm not telling you to halfway go with God, but even when you're new in your walk and you only go 10%, you don't understand what God is really saying sometimes, you understand? And you only go like 10%, or you only go like 30, 60, or 90, or whatever. Your understanding isn't opened yet, and you go as far as you can. That's perfect to God. Isn't that wonderful? Wow! How many are hearing this tonight? Oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the garden of the Lord! And will he isn't going to despise what he creates, is he? Huh? Are you going to despise your little one that you created? And I remember I was holding Debbie up and I was going, way up for Daddy, way up. Blah! Ugh. Huh? Threw up all over my face. My eyes was glued shut. And I went and I hurried up and I washed off and I went out. Is the baby sick or what? The kid actually puked on me and I was concerned about her. Doesn't that tell you something about God? Do you think the love of God goes past that? You pukes? Say amen, somebody. Ah, you folks on the radio are really steaming now. But rather, God is delighted with it. And I tell you, He has a sweet complacency therein. He is well pleased, hallelujah. And yes, I believe it is a wonder of wonders. We are well pleasing to God. And oh, how blessed is repentance when you say you're sorry. When your little one comes up and you just got done scolding them and they're crying, you know, and their little hearts are just, and they're heaving. You ever heave? How many have heaved lately? I heaved about a year ago. I was heaving. I was crying about something. You ever heave when you cry? Huh? But anyway, these little ones, they heave when they cry. And they catch their breath and they say,
I'm sorry.
Now, what can you say after you say you're sorry? Well, what can I say after I say I'm sorry? Ooh, huh? And you don't know that song either, but that's the meaning. What can you say? That's all you have to say.
I'm sorry. Big tears coming out of the kid's eyes. I'm really sorry. I won't do it again, I promise.
Are you going to beat him again? Or you might say, well, you better be. Don't let it happen again. And you'll walk in the kitchen, but all you can see is the little guy's face.
I'm sorry.
And then you'll walk up again and pull on your dress or on your pants or whatever.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, folks, that just melts my heart down. Isn't repentance sweet?
Hasn't that got a nice aroma to it? Oh. God blows upon that little one's heart, and all of a sudden they say, I'm sorry. See, repentance is of the Lord. You don't repent on your own. God gives you it's called godly sorrow. Not a con sorrow, but a God sorrow.
But how sweet it is, hallelujah. Especially when the Spirit of God's mercy deals with us before we sin. You're going to go sin, see? And God's mercy deals with you and sets up a set of circumstances, roadblocks. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead, detour. Those detours are actually stop signs. And you drive up, and you turn around, and you get stuck in the ditch of your spiritual experience. Oh. Or maybe somebody sees you that you know. Those are stop signs. Getting kind of quiet in here now. Those are God's grace. That is God's grace. That is saying, repent. And if you repent before the act, that's like you see your little one, see? And he's over in here, and you watch him. And the little one is over here, and he's click. You hear that click, and you go peek around the door, and you can hear change rattle. And he pulls out a quarter. He pulls out another quarter. He pulls out candy bars or more than he would, you know. Pulls out $4 so he can buy a Milky Way candy bar. Oops, he forgot the tax. 24 cents. And he takes his $4.24 and he starts sneaking out, and you're waiting, and he stops. And he looks at it, and it's getting all hot in his hand, and he turns around and goes back, and he looks all over, and he opens the purse up, drops half of the change. Oh, God, oh. And he's so happy, he gets it in, and he comes around, and then you come out. George! Somebody on the radio called George. What are you doing? Oh, nothing. And oh, how you like that he repented before he actually did it. Before he actually bought into sin. Do you know you have to pay for sin? You actually have to buy it. You got to buy the booze. You have to buy adultery. You got to buy those things. They don't come cheap. Say amen, somebody. No, they do not come cheap. You got to buy into them. But oh, how God loves it. When you say, woe is me, I've been found out, I am a man of unclean lips, help me, God, help. And you know that very cry is music to God's ears? He doesn't care that you almost did. He doesn't care that you half did. He doesn't care that you 90% did. All he cares about is that you repented. Whoa! When we are made to see our sin and repent and go back to the ground rules. See, when you get into working in the kingdom of God, there's ground rules. And you break those ground rules, and then your prayers start to get hindered. Don't they? You break those ground rules, let's call them a spiritual survival. But oh, how sweet it is when you listen to the, oh, what a joy it brings to God when sinners repent. When one returns to the way, and when we go to the higher steps in divine life and say no to the devil and yes to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, blow upon my garden. We may be sure that His joy is in us. And when His joy is in us, and when that act of repentance comes, hallelujah, therefore the Bible says that my joy may be made what? Full. Now, it's pretty hard to get somebody down when they're full of joy. When they got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart. Huh? I got the jumping joy of Jesus down in my heart, down in my heart. Oh, down in my heart, I got the jumping joy of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my garden today. When I have that jumping joy down inside of my heart, hallelujah. And when I walk into a higher realm of living and into a higher steps in divine life, I can be sure that the joy of the Lord, when your little one, glory to God, opens up, grabs a hold of the knob that he hasn't been able to do. His little hands didn't work very good at first, you know what I mean? And you sort of pick that up. And now he's able to grab a hold of the doorknob and turn. He's on his tiptoes and he's stretching way up and he turns the doorknob. And he pulls the door and it knocks him on his rump. Ooh, and he falls on the ground. And ooh, and then he pulls the door open and he stumbles outside. Hello, world! All by himself. Doesn't that give you joy in your heart? When you stumble to the door of the Lord and open it up, hallelujah, by divine grace and by training and by watching what God has us to do. And do that. Then, I'll tell you something, that pleases your Father, hallelujah. That act of learning and that act of obedience. How many are hearing this? Oh, yes, I hear someone on the radio. A very simple teaching. Well, that might all be, but it's a teaching from the Holy Ghost. Say amen, somebody. And one that you folks are not going to forget. Say amen, somebody. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I sure am glad about that, hallelujah, that you're stirring me down inside of my old garden, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, what a joy that brings to God. Hallelujah. And so then these spices of ours are not only delightful to God, but I believe they're helpful to other people. I believe that we're actually helpful. I believe that every particle of faith, and every particle of faith that there is in this world is sort of a purifier. I believe this. I believe that faith is all over. I believe it's in the air. I believe it's in your being. I believe that faith is your body here. It was made by faith, and all the planets were made by faith. And everything that was created was created by faith. Have faith in God, the author and finisher of your faith, the God of all faith, and on and on and on with the scriptures. But that God forms things where there was nothing by faith. And He said, let there be light, and there was light, and He called it out by faith. Hallelujah! And it is a sweet aroma unto the Lord when you, as an act of creativity, activated by the power of God, say, Lord, I want this to happen in Jesus' name. And stand upon the promise of God, hallelujah, and it happens because your Father is well pleased. And then also, wherever that there's an act of faith, it kills those particles of evil. That atmosphere of evil has to go when faith comes in. You ever been someplace and there's an atmosphere of evil? And you walk in there and you feel like, and by faith you stand there? I have ministered to audiences where it took a tremendous amount of faith because there was so much evil there. Maybe one sitting. And there was a whole crowd of evil out there waiting for you to go down, 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 waiting for you to flub. And you're standing there. And there's a couple of mean old gals about three seats back growling. They're not really growling, but they're growling. You know what I mean? Growl. Growl. And by faith, you stand up and you start to give out the glorious gospel of God. And the aroma coming from the wind of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, blowing upon your garden, hallelujah, not judging anybody, glory, hallelujah, overtakes the dunghills of unbelief. And pretty soon, the seeds of faith are flying out over the audience. That's the noise they make. Believe it or not. And you know that you got it. You know that you've woken up faith. Be not dismayed with their faces, for I have sent you to a very rebellious house. But don't you rebel. But you walk this walk in faith, and let me blow upon your garden, hallelujah, and I will use you as a sort of purifier, an equalizer, an overcomer. I'm more than an overcomer. I'll make perfume out of you. I'll make a purifier out of you, and you'll purify the atmosphere. When you go into a room, and when you go into your job, and when you go out into the streets, there is an atmosphere. That's why downstairs, by the power of God, and by the divine direction of the Lord, people came in. They did this, they did that. And it's all by the hand of God's grace that it got done. But it caused a brand new atmosphere. Can you say amen? Now you come in, and because the purifier came in and he tore up all of the old carpet. And all of the old glue was scraped off. And now all you see is purified floors and a brand new atmosphere of Philip and a Stephen, and among the seven ministries is going on. The work of the evangelist is going on, hallelujah. And today, mark it down, God opened up another door. And S&B Salvage called up. And you know what they said? They said, do you have somebody down there that can go to work? I said, yes, I have somebody down here about noon. And they called at 12:30. And at 12:35, we had the six people that they needed, and that is the beginning of Disciples Ministry Church Missions job finding. brought about by the grace of God through a brand new atmosphere, by people sitting and by people waiting on people and people congregating around people and meeting their physical needs, not only their physical need, but their spiritual need, and they have a need for a job. So I walked up and a little old man, when I got up inside here, he said, "Did they tell you to bring six people? They're only supposed to bring two." I didn't pay no attention to him. I said in my spirit, "Shut up, devil." And I walked over and I walked real fast up to this great big tall guy. I don't know if he's S and B or S or B, or, you know, Steve or Brian or whatever that initial stand for. But anyway, I looked up at him and I says, "Take them all. And whatever the difference is, we'll pay it." And I said it real quick. He says, "Okay." Because I says, "I want to encourage these guys. You know something? He's going to pay the whole works." That's the beginning. Just the beginning. Isn't there a song like that? Oh, when I began the biggie. I won't go through the whole thing, but it actually fits in rather nicely. Say amen, somebody. Woo! Particles of faith all over, and you got to grab them. Hey! You only want two! And you speak a word to the one that's in authority, not the person that carries a wastebasket out there, meaner than hell itself. Okay? You go right to the top. And it's just like that when you go to the Lord. You go right to the Lord. "Lord, take them all. Hire them all. Encourage them, Lord." Sure. Two more people wrote cards out. We took the cards and put them away, and two more people came in tonight. I was busy in the office, and they wrote out cards and wrote these cards out. "We want to go to work." There'll be a difference in this work crew down here, though. It'll be day labor, but they won't be charged nothing. Plus, they'll get free lunch. They'll get free clothes, free direction, free ride, free everything. And then you give them the privilege of giving. Say, "If you want to give anything back to church, go ahead on." Are you hearing this? See, that's all ministry, isn't it? How many know that's ministry? Isn't that ministry? Oh, maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. I think it's ministry, don't you? How many would say that that was ministry? I got to say, hey, that's ministry. I mean, that to me is realistic, okay? I mean, that's something I would go for when I wandered off a skid row, or if I wandered out of my drunken past and somebody offered me something. I'd say, "Wow. These guys were so eager," and I could feel the nervousness. We were going up on this elevator to the sixth floor. These are all grown men. They're kind of breathing like, "Oh, I wonder what we're going to have to do." And one guy says, "What are we going to have to do when we get up there?" He's a great big, strong, kind of loudmouth guy. "But what are we going to have to do?" I says, "Nothing to it." I says, "You're just going to move things from one spot to another spot." "Well, will they pay us?" I says, "You get paid right away when you get done at night. When you're done with your work, you get paid. You're going to love it." "Oh, okay." And how beautiful it is when you see people come, and six grown men, and they're all looking for the same thing, some kind of hope. And I had the hope. God gave me the hope, and God gave me the faith, and God gave me the love, because without them, I don't have nothing. And Jesus says, "You can do nothing without me." There's a song like that. "Do nothing till you hear from me. Do nothing till you hear from me. Da 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 da." Huh? Don't do nothing till you hear from Jesus. We heard from Jesus today, hallelujah. We heard from Jesus through prayer and fasting. We heard from Jesus, hallelujah, and things are happening because we're dare to believe God to blow upon our gardens. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this month, God. I want to thank you right now. I want to praise you. I want to praise God right now. He's given me some brand new insights. And he's been digging in my old garden. There's a whole lot of weeds in there, by the way. Other people have been helping me out, pulling a few out now and then, you know. Oh, yes, thank you so much.
Oh, Jesus, I want to thank you for this. Thank you, Jesus. What a perfume I was today through Jesus for these men. And I felt it. Oh, we had a good time. I was driving down here, and these grown men sitting in the back. We had all the bread in the back of your van. And we're driving along, and this guy stopped right in front of me, and I thought, oh, I can't spill these guys. Especially when they're sitting back there with hot coffee in the back of this great big box van. I didn't think about the coffee, but all of a sudden this guy stopped right in the street. He wanted, you know, they do that down here. Do you know our people on the north side, they stop right in the middle of the street to talk, hi, Gertrude, and they sit right in, have you noticed that? And not only that, then a whole group gets around the car, and they all sit, yeah, you know, and they're all saying, well, that's our folks down here. That's the way they are. So you got to drive up on the grass to get around them, you know. But I didn't have time to get around on the grass. So you know, that's true. We do that. Now I'm even doing it. I stop, and they beep, and I just kind of, you know. That's the way we do down here, don't we? So anyway, I had to pump the brakes, and all of these six men come tumbling forward with their coffee. But there was such a sweet spirit in there that they all were laughing like little kids. Some were 30, some were 40, some were 60, some were 90. No, I won't try to fit that into the message. But they were all ages, and they all tumbled forward, and all these men, I looked back, and they were all laughing and having a good time with their empty coffee cups spilled all over Pastor Paul. No, you know what? Not one drop touched me. Your bread is soaked with coffee. Did you notice that? Yeah, yeah. About a gallon, I'd say. But, you know, it was just great because all these guys and we had such a good time going up in the elevator and saying goodbye to, and it was just, it was something that I will never forget as long as I live. Things like that really take an effect on me. And it was such a beautiful picture. You know, I'd like to have a camera. I'd just like to take pictures of that. And watch Life magazine turn red. I mean, these were character studies that were so beautiful. And we've got the most, we've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are, standing in the row. Harry, Larry, and Moe, and so Moe. We got them down here. And they are a lovely bunch of coconuts. And God has got the biggest coconut right here. Say amen, somebody. Ooh, one that's out of his tree. And sometimes these sweet odors, I believe they heal, and I believe they bring back those that have suffered a spiritual death. And so a young man that I had ministered to some 14 years ago was standing downside in my kitchen. And he was telling some story about something that had happened and somebody got in trouble and blah, blah. And he said that they were praying someplace down in Tennessee. And this person down in Tennessee that barely knew, didn't even know us, said, you know, I want you to go to Minneapolis. I want you to go to Pastor Paul Arnopoulos and have him pray. And then that very morning, I had been praying so heavily in the Spirit. And we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit knows how to pray. And the Spirit brought that man from down in Tennessee up to Minneapolis for prayer. Maybe somebody over in Africa or somebody over in England, God was stirring their garden. Ooh. And they were stirred into prayer for me. Maybe they thought they were praying for something quite different. But when we pray one in the Spirit, we pray by the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. But also, these odors are quiet and still at times, and I think that sometimes when there's a stillness in the air and there's a mugginess and a tiredness in the air, never get into this becalmed condition where there's a stillness in your garden. You know what? There's a stillness just before the storm a lot of times when it gets real still, and you'll come out of some place and it'll be real quiet and gray and still and balmy, and sort of an atmosphere takes over, and you say, there's going to be a storm. The calm before the storm. Don't allow yourself to be becalmed in your garden when there's no ripple of wind and you're real quiet down inside there and there's nothing happening. Do you know when there's nothing happening? I'd rather have the devil roaring. Than just being quiet. Because then I know where he's at. So I want God to stir up the gifts in me. And I want God to cause me to pray and fast and stir them up and scorn the devil so that he roars. And then when he roars, I know I have to go for the grace of God. Don't let yourself get too calm and be too becalmed on the inner person. I think it's dangerous. I think that we have to have a stirring of these sweet perfumes. I believe it's got to be done only by the Holy Spirit. I believe it's got, by God's grace, it's got to stir us up. Not by might, no. And not by power, saith the word. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord, and by my breath of my Holy Spirit, saith the Lord, must you be stirred. Now let me say this, that a Christian and one who has never asked, am I indeed planted in God's garden? Am I really a child of God? If they have never asked that question, I, without any reserve, believe this, that they are not. Anytime a person does not want to inquire at all as to what his position in God is and before God is, I suspect that he is afraid of introspection. I suspect that he's afraid of self-examination. I expect that he doesn't dare look into his own heart. And how many have thought that? I wonder if I really am saved. I have. I wonder if I am truly in God's garden. When you ask that question, you can just really count on it that you are saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. Yes. Oh, when I first got saved, I know there were so many. They had been in the Lord for years and years and years. And they just had and I'd ask them, well, don't you have any problems? I mean, did the devil ever bother you or anything like that? Well, no, I just always seem to have a good time. I'm the usher of the church. And, well, I know, it's just, it seems like, you ever run into somebody like that? It seems like they never have any spiritual battles at all. Do you know what I found out about folks like that? They don't have any spiritual depth. They have no spiritual depth of understanding. None whatsoever. None. No spiritual depth. Oh, good morning. Huh? And it just seems like they're all kind of happy and twerpy looking. But no depth. And I don't know if they're going on presumption or what, but it's my contention that a person that's saved and filled with the Holy Spirit is going to go through a burn-off. Don't we? Don't we go through burn-offs? Well, I do. And the more that you walk in the Lord, the more you're going to get burnt off. Well, when you were in the world, you got burned, didn't you? Why don't you sit up, honey, and go back to sleep again? Say amen. And so if you're going through a real hard time, and you say, Pastor Paul, and those people will come, I don't know what's wrong with me. And this is wrong. I say, hey, be encouraged. God is working on you, brother and sister. But, you know, there's others that come up.
What's wrong? I mean, just believe. That's all you have to do. Yes, just believe. Oh, yeah.
That's true. That's true.
I never feel that way. Never.
You know what? They're never going to be bothered. And they'll have a lot of people trying to be like them. But they have no depth of experience. None. Shallow. They should pray that God stirs up their garden. They should pray that God shows them themselves. They should pray that God would tell them, get out of that person's garden. Stop trying to pull up what you think are weeds. But isn't it really generally true that they have had no remarkable, any kind of depth to their experience whatsoever? I believe when God means to make a mighty man, and I want you young guys to hear this, I believe that he digs about them and soon they come a crying and a craving for some kind of comfort. I have them a call on the phone.
Oh God, Pastor Paul, I tell you, I just crave more of God. And I just seem like I can't get rid of this thing. It's plaguing me. I'm going crazy.
And then they start to confess their doubts and their fears.
I just wonder if I'm even saved.
I said, you know what? You're growing. You got growing pains. Hold it, hold it, hold it.
You got growing pains. You're being pruned.
And then they're okay for about a week, and they'll call up,
oh, it's happening again. I don't know what it is.
I said, you're going through the pruning again. Good day, brother. I said, what happened?
I witnessed, and I led some people to the Lord. Every time I do that, it seems like the devil comes in.
Well, you were fruitful. Now God's pruning you for further action. Good day, brother.
And you're going to be pruned over and over and over and over. And like the apple tree, they're going to take a hatchet and they're going to hatch at the bottom of you. Yunk, yunk, yunk.
Because you're going to be a producer. You aren't going to be pretty. They might even call you old stub. But you're going to have a lot of rich, ripe fruit. Hallelujah. You're always going to be climbing higher heights. Did you know that? I thought, oh, golly, I'm so glad I've been delivered. And now I'm free. See? Have you ever been driving into California and it looks like that mountain peak is only about a mile away? And you say, well, another 5 minutes will be. When we get to that up there, we're going to stop for lunch. An hour and a half later. It's the same way in your spiritual walk. You think that mountain peak is only a little bit away, and when you get there, you're going to have lunch and sit down. Oh, how deceiving them mountain peaks are, aren't they? And you crawl and you scratch and you think, oh, just about there now. And an hour and a half later and 2 hours later and 2 weeks and a month and 4 days later, you're still crawling. Sooner or later, you're going to reach it. And you know, when you reach it, it isn't all that exciting. It's like a little mound. Boop. You say, is that it? Is that all there is, dear Lord? I've been so climby, huh? You know what I'm talking about? You get there, and it's not that much. And you know what? You go after... Now, there's another one down there. This looks like a great one. And you go after that one. Shouldn't these sweet odors be diffused, though? Listen. We read, awake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. But notice, until the graces are diffused, it is the same as if they were not even there. You can have all those rich things, but unless the grace of God and the Holy Spirit
blows upon your garden, it's just like you don't even have them. Until you allow the Holy Spirit to move in you and the wind of the Holy Ghost, it's just like they're not there. They can be there, but they are dormant, and they cause nobody any good until you're willing for the Holy Spirit to blow upon your garden. So many times, people do not want to be diffused by this power of the Holy Spirit. That's like when you creep into the woods. I remember I had a friend. He always wanted to go out squirrel hunting. I never could shoot them squirrels because they'd walk right up to you, and I'd sit in this great big pile of brown leaves out there, and I'd see that squirrel, and he'd say, "Now when you see them, they walk across them branches, reach up, and you plug them, see?" And they'd be out there, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. And they'd crawl down. They'd do everything but crawl on top of your head. Now you want to shoot them while they're on top of your head, let me tell you. Okay? But they'd crawl all over. But you know, if you're real quiet in the woods, I found this out, if you're creeping through the woods like this, you won't stir anything up. It's when you have some beaters out there. When they go deer hunting, they cross across the field and they go out there and they make all kinds of noise and they beat the brush. Oh, I'd hate to be a deer. That's how we chase things out of our garden, when we stir it. Unless there's a stirring in the garden, nothing's going to happen. There's got to come a stirring in the garden. There's got to come a wind in the garden. How many are hearing this? There's got to be a breath of the Holy Ghost moving. How many are hearing this? Awake, O north wind, come thou south, blow upon my garden, blow upon it, that the spices thereof may flow out, that we may be caught not slumbering, O Lord. You'll never know that if you have any faith or not until it is tested. You'll never know that if you have love. You say, "Oh, I have love." You're not going to know that you have love until it's tested. You're not going to know that you have love until the Holy Spirit blows upon it, until the grace of God blows upon it, until it's brought about, until it's brought alive, until it's beaten out of you. And so then we do behave ourselves like we really do love the Lord, and then we know we love the Lord because it's been blown upon, because it's been shown to us. And so it is with the sweet flowers in the beloved's garden. They need either the north wind or they need the south wind to blow upon them that they may shed abroad, it says, that sweet aroma. And notice that is very painful to a Christian and in such a condition that grace are not stirring. When you are not being stirred by the Holy Spirit, it's painful. When I'm not being used of God, it's painful to me. Now, Ruth, you're coming down here and, "Oh, I just love it." Why? You're being used. Is that right? And you're being stirred by being used. And because you are stirred, you're being used. And because you are used, you are stirred. See, it's all one thing, isn't it? And God is blowing upon your garden, and you got new life. Oh, hi, hi, hi. And there's brand new life there. And there's a blowing of the Holy Ghost right now, and if it doesn't happen to us, we can't endure it. If I'm not used of God, I can't stand it. How many know what I'm talking about? We who love the Lord, and I'm closing right now, we were not born again to waste our time in sinful slumber, and our watchword should be, "Let us not sleep as others do." Say amen, somebody. We were not born into inaction. Hallelujah. Now I believe that every power that God has put within us was meant to be used in a working and in a striving and in a serving of the Lord, so that when our graces are slumbering, we ourselves are in a very unhappy state. I cannot stand it unless there's a stirring in my garden. Unless there's a wind of the Holy Ghost.
And then we start to long for the north wind. But then I hear someone say, but the snow will come. I say, I don't care. It's better than nothing. You ever been caught inside? And they say, well, there'll be no work. They're plowing here and they're plowing there. And you just keep looking out the window. When's a plow going to come? And pretty soon you get all wrapped up and you go outside anyway. Why? You want some action. And it's the same way when the north wind blows upon you. I don't care, wind or snow or whatever. I want some action. And it says, awake, O north wind. That to me means a heavy trial. That means trudging through snow. That means a heavy, 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 heavy black adversity or a fierce temptation. How many know what I mean by fierce temptation? That's a north wind. No north wind! Blow upon me! Here it comes. Whoo! You asked for it. But you say anything so long as we don't begin to diffuse in our graces. But then we call upon the south wind. Come, O south wind! And you know what that is? That's a prosperity wind. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. But of course, the best quickener of all is the Holy Ghost. Come, O Holy Spirit, O blessed Holy Spirit, hallelujah. I don't care if you come as a north wind, convincing me of sin and tearing away every rag of my self-confidence, or then he may come as a south wind, hallelujah. Whoa, all full of love and revealing Christ and the covenant of grace and all the blessings that are stored therein. Come, O Holy Spirit. Come, O heavenly dove. Come, O rushing mighty wind, but do come, drop from above as gently as a dew from heaven, or like rattling hail. I don't